The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, for the Financial Times ranked top investment advisor, Hanson McLean, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us on this October 10th weekend. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors. Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, certified fund specialist. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, just meaning we are practicing financial advisors. And we spend our weekends being your financial advisors on the air. And the reason that we usually start off the program talking about why we're practicing financial advisors, we understand this from a real world perspective. So by working with people and talking with people and dealing with people, we understand the complexities of life. We understand what happens emotionally when we have transitions in our life. And we understand how that all relates to finances.
Academic versus practical.
Yeah.
So we've got the academic education, but I was not nearly, I hate to say this. When I first started in the business, it was mostly academic. It wasn't so much practical, which is how people actually live.
And further, there are some financial programs that I've heard, whether it's on air or on television or some other talking heads, that they talk about being financial advisors, but they've never had any clients, nor do they have clients today. And without having that real world experience, sometimes I hear the advice and I kind of scratch my head and think, well, that sounds good.
But would people actually act?
Yeah,
that
I'll give you a prime example, I'll give you a little approach on how we look at things. So, as someone is preparing for retirement, someone's nearing retirement, and if you're sitting there listening and you're preparing for retirement, you're going to retire sometime in the future, listen up. This is for you. So, a textbook will say, or CFP program, the certified financial program will say, well, what you need to do if you're going to retire, you need to figure out what your expenses are going to be during retirement.
And how would you do that?
Well, you list out all your expenses. What do I have to pay for utilities? How much do I have to pay in property taxes? How much do I pay in insurance? If I still have a mortgage, how much do I have to pay that? So you list all those out. Well, what's entertainment going to cost? So this is what I've seen lots of places saying this is how to figure out retirement. I've heard other advisors say here's the best way to do it. Now, our real life perspective, working with people, both Pat and I have been doing this for a quarter century, 25 years. We first started working with people, would say, all right, list all your retirement expenses. So they'd come in and they'd say, all right, we have $45,000 a year in expenses, right? Let's just make up a number because their home would be paid off by this point. $45,000 a year in expenses. And then I look and I look at their previous years and they had $90,000 of income. And so I'd say, you had $90,000 of income, but you say you only need $45,000 to live on. So then we'd say, all right, well, how much went in your Social Security? How much went in your retirement accounts? Because those aren't going to happen in retirement. And I try to look at how much has really been coming home to the house today.
So what are you spending? Not what you say you're spending, but what you're really spending.
And what we found, sometimes people would underestimate their expenses by $10,000, $20,000, sometimes even more. They would just completely underestimate their
expenses. I'm trying to remember if anyone ever overestimated their expenses.
I've never seen that. Right? So as you approach retirement, rather than try to come up with your expected expenses, the best way is really, let's start today. What's coming through the house today? And when we retire, what's going coming through the house today, what wouldn't be there if we were retired other than our income? Let's assume our incomes, but what's going out that's no longer going to be there?
Social Security, 401k contributions, maybe you pay off your mortgage. Maybe you've got some other expenses coming out of your paycheck that you're not going to have in retirement.
It's those certain items that you would no longer have to be paying into at retirement. And then you add back in what might be some additional things. That's the simplest way to say, here's what my lifestyle income replacement need is.
That's if you want your that's if you want the identical lifetime standard of living.
Well, some people?
Well, some people downsize. Although approximately 2/3 of homeowners never downsize in retirement. I was just reading a study that said that approximately, even though they actually consider the freedom years, age 61 is for most people the freedom year. I was just
Why
reading a study from Age Wave.
Year?
Oh, they call them the freedom years, where they feel comfortable deciding where they're going to live, because the average person at age 61, the reason they're living in the home they're in now changes. Their kids are out of the house. Maybe they don't need to live next to their current employer anymore.
The married kids aren't coming home to visit as often as they had hoped.
Correct. But so they call it age wave. I was reading the study in Age Wave, who does studies on aging. 61 people, they feel it's where they get to choose where they want to live. The average age is 61. But 2/3 of those people never live at their
home. I
don't
get to choose where I live,
by
the way.
But 1/3 of the people will consider moving to downsize or to a different geographic area, oftentimes less expensive.
Sometimes. Haven't you seen the opposite? I've seen people downsize their home, but not
into a
cost.
Nicer area. Yeah, I've seen that too.
They leave one area and they go to a nice retirement. They go to like a Sun City where it's a.
But the point being is, if you're doing the budget, then you actually bake that in there. And believe me, whatever they decide they're going to do in retirement, it changes the year after people retire.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
Retirement's an interesting concept.
Well, it's a relatively new concept. If you think about it, 1880s Germany pension plans. In fact, kind of their Social Security. That's where the whole kind of retirement concept came up, where you'd receive a stream of income.
You mean from the government?
It was a pension. It was up until that time, people basically worked until they died.
Yes.
Or they'd move into with a family member to help take care of them. But in the 1880s, the German government created a form of
Social Security.
Well, they didn't call it that, but
It
was a form of Social Security. And that's kind of what started the whole concept of retirement, and obviously it's evolved all over the place since then.
Now you've got Greek haircutters retiring at 50 and wondering why the country's not doing well.
Well, they would hope to have stayed retired at age 50. It's kind of changing in Greece a little bit, but we'll see when the bill comes due to the International Monetary Fund for the third time whether they pay it or not. So,
no, but
the whole concept of retirement is ever evolving. It's ever evolving. And we see it a lot with clients that wanted to retire younger than they retired 10 years ago. And after 2 or 3 years, they went back to work because it wasn't fulfilling.
I look at my stepfather, my mother and stepfather. He's 74. He went back to work full time.
Because?
Because he didn't need the money. I mean, they liked the money, but they certainly didn't need it. Because he had an opportunity, someone invited him back to go back to work. He's having the time of his life.
He's fulfilled.
He's just having, and my mom just says how much fun he's having.
Is he kind of a worker guy? I mean, when you were growing up, was he always working? Like, he'd get up in the morning. And
That's all I did. No, so
you never came home at 2 p.m. on a Thursday afternoon.
Start drinking.
No, see him laying in front of the TV, catching up on some daytime television.
He almost never watched. No, actually, and I said stepfather, so I had benefit of two families as growing up.
Okay.
But so interesting, he had grown up as his parents were migrant farm workers from Oklahoma.
Really?
Really a hard worker. So he worked in the utility industry. He would come home. They had, I think, 10 or 12 acres of all kinds of stuff. He'd come home and work until the sun went down.
He was a worker.
Always.
So
always
when he retired, was he unhappy?
As the benefit of being one of the residents of the home, I would get up and collect the eggs before school, do chores before school, come home. It was chores in the afternoon, and then homework, and then bed. And then Saturdays were chores until noon. That was kind of how the
You got all
ran.
Saturday afternoon off?
And Sunday. We got Sundays off. But
you're spoiled.
No, but to your point.
He's a worker. He's probably happiest working.
He enjoys working. And we find that, and I'm sorry, I'm going into my life, my whole life story here. But yeah, there's no question about it. He enjoyed, and he particularly enjoyed working with his hands. Now at 74, he can't do a lot of work with his hands, but he's working in the utility field, working with other people in the construction side of things.
But the reality, Scott, is that he decided his retirement should be what he wanted it to look like, whether it included work or not.
Yeah, so that's a luxury for many, by the way.
It is really a luxury that they get to decide whether they're going to enter the workforce because they need to or they have to. But the reality of it is that people enter retirement with a view of how it's going to look. And once you get there, it isn't quite as fulfilling as they had wished it had. And it's hard.
For some. Not for everybody.
Not for everyone. Some people are really good at it. Some are really good at retirement. Some are terrible at retirement. And it has oftentimes nothing to do with the money.
And you'll find this program, we spend a lot of time on the financial sides of things. And most of the time, people are worried about preparing for retirement. But all those other issues are just as important to plan for, maybe even more so in some aspects. Of course, you need the finances or the other stuff aren't going to work. But you need to make sure that you are paying attention to those other things as you move towards retirement, plan towards retirement. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking your calls. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com. Or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McLean Financial Advisor. At Hanson McLean Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McLean Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McLean today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Taking the financially complex and making it simple, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
Glad you are. They've been joining us. We had a one-minute break. Where'd they go in a minute? And it was an ad for our firm, so they must have stayed through and listened to that one because it was probably riveting, exciting.
It's okay to thank people for continuing to listen, and I won't thank people anymore.
That's kind of a rule, a new philosophy in life. Just forget thanking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a smart thing to do. It'll help you in life if you don't thank people.
Don't show any appreciation.
Now, I remember when I was a young person, I had worked with an individual, one of my first jobs, and they said, you never thank the client, the customer. So what do you mean? Well, because if you thank them, then they think you're doing a favor. They should be thanking you. And
really?
Yeah, I thought that was a little odd advice. Anyway, that's, you know, and I grew from there. And so I quit thanking people, and before long, I didn't have a job.
Yeah.
No, I'm now just kidding. I didn't lose a job.
Thank them all the time. So let's take the call. Let's take some calls. We're going to talk to, is it
Maria?
Maria. Oh, I can't.
You're getting new glasses.
I actually.
There's an M. It starts with an M.
No, because the screen in front of me was broken, so now I'm using one that's about 3 feet away. And
Maria, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Maria.
My question is, I'm thinking about retiring for the second time, and I sold my home, so I have $100,000, and I have a 403B, and I would like to add to it so I'd get more of a monthly income along with my Social Security. But my question is, they will only let me add about approximately $5,000 at one time. And they said they would roll over an IRA, but I have to start the IRA. And if I do start an IRA, how long do I have to have it before I can roll it over?
Okay, let's ask a couple of different questions. So you sold a home. Is this your primary residence that you sold?
Yeah.
And
yes.
Where are you going to live now that you sold your primary residence?
I'd like to go into a senior residence.
So an assisted living or one of these?
How old are you, Maria?
74.
Oh, you don't sound 74.
So is it one of these senior residences where either it's a co-op or it's staged senior living where you're living independently, but if you need to, you can move into assisted care in the same complex? Which one is
it? Well, it's sort of a senior apartment.
Okay.
Got it.
And, and is there a charge to live in these senior apartments? Do you have to buy in, or is it a monthly rental? What is it?
From what I can see, you have to be within a certain income range. And I guess there's a monthly fee. And so if you're over income or you have too many assets, you know, which I sort of do, but I don't have enough money to live in a more luxury place.
Yeah. So
I'm sort of in the middle. So I thought if I could roll over this $100,000 into a 403B and get an annuity, then I'd have an income to go along with my Social Security.
Got it. And how do you have a 403B now?
Yes.
And how much money is in that 403B?
Oh, not much. I've just been on this job for 5 years, and they just started it. So I just have about $2,000.
Okay. And this 403B, you either work for a nonprofit or a hospital or
YMCA.
Okay, so you're working for a nonprofit.
And Maria, do you have any sort of a pension or anything like that?
Very, very small.
And how much is your Social Security a month?
Approximately $1,300.
Okay, so here's what we want to do with this, Maria. We need to work backwards from this. So you cannot take your that $100,000 and put it into what's called a 403B. So I think you might be confusing what's called a 403B tax sheltered annuity with what's called a tax deferred annuity or a lifetime income annuity. They're two different vehicles, although they sound very similar, and they use almost the same mechanism. One has a tax benefit to it that's greater than the other. So let's forget about when you use the word 403B. Let's forget about that for now.
Okay.
We've got to start with the end in mind. And the end in mind means, okay, if I was going to move to this particular housing unit and there was economic barriers to entering it, which means my income can't be either too high.
And I can't have too many assets.
And I can't have too many assets. We need to know what that number is before you actually make any decisions.
Monthly
income.
Right? Okay.
What we know now is that you have $1,300 a month in income from Social Security, and you said you had a little pension. So is that number too big to qualify you right now?
Oh, no, not at all. It's only like $7,650 a month.
Oh, God, that's how much it costs to live there. But if your income's too high, you said you can't qualify to live there. We need to know what that number is when you say too high. Does that make sense?
Oh.
Because we can't give you direction, nor can anyone else give you directions on what to do with this $100,000 from the proceeds of the primary residence.
Be real, Frank, you may not qualify for subsidized housing while you have $100,000 in assets.
But you may qualify if you turn that $100,000 in assets into a stream of income. But I don't know the rules surrounding that. Yeah. There may be look-back rules. Don't know.
There's probably 60-month look-back rules.
So a look-back rule says, did you convert money from a lump sum into a stream of income?
So who's your best?
I talked to one senior housing, and they said if it's income, you know, you can have the income flowing in from some assets that you did have.
Yeah, but the question is how much income, right? So,
and how long ago could you put it into that lifetime annuity is what you're talking about.
So I'm trying to think, Pat, who would be the best resource for her to go to on this? I would imagine someone from the housing authority.
In the county, there's a senior housing authority in many counties. I would probably start with the housing authority. in your county. So what
you don't want to start with a financial salesperson selling you an annuity that may not be the right thing for you.
Yeah, don't go to the bank and let them push you into a financial advisor that wants to sell you a big, fat, commissioned annuity.
What they could do, Maria, say, what we're going to do is put your money into this immediate annuity. You're going to take your $100,000, give it to an insurance company. They'll, in exchange, they're going to give you X dollars per month for the rest of your life. That might be the right thing for you, but it may not. And until you understand all the rules surrounding what it takes to be in the subsidized housing, you don't want to put your money in there and suddenly find out that you're not able to, you will no longer qualify because you had $100,000. You need to understand those rules. And I got to tell you, most financial advisors aren't going to know those rules. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, and the rules may be different for each county. So you need to actually go to someone,
someone at the apartment complex should be able to help you to say, look, what organizations, who understands these rules? You need to understand the rules, Maria.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the city where I'm living close to, they have a financial counselor coming in October.
That's
so
who
I
talked to.
So I was going to visit with him.
They're perfect. You said financial counselor. Is he?
They're not going to sell product, correct?
I'm hoping it's like someone who's volunteering their time who's an expert in or works for an agency. They don't work for a financial company, correct?
Well, it just said on the senior bulletin that I get from the senior retirement center that we have an opportunity to talk with this financial advisor. That's all it said.
Okay, I wouldn't start there.
I wouldn't go there either.
He's an annuity salesman showing up. I would find.
You do not want a salesperson.
No.
Yeah. In fact, listen. Sales. If you need a sales guy, just go up front. Go to any local bank, and they'll steer you to a sales guy. You don't need a sales guy. You need some counseling for someone that has some expertise in there. And unfortunately, we don't have it.
Yeah.
But I know what I'm afraid of. I can tell you right now, I'm afraid that you're going to end up with an annuity that disqualifies you from buying. But that very well may be the answer.
But I wouldn't do it.
Until I knew the... So you got to start with the end in mind. And the end is, what if you start at the senior housing home that you want to live in, ask them who you should talk to. And it may make sense to convert that $100,000 into a stream of income that lasts till your dying day through the use of a life annuity, or it may not.
There might be a look-back provision, and there might be certain ways you need to structure.
And a look-back provision, all that means is that they're going to disqualify that annuity because of the fact that you deposited it within a period of time before you applied for the housing. Every county's different.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I wish I was of more help.
My job, the Y has a retirement fund, and they will transfer it into an annuity. So they're not. But that's not a good idea.
No.
Here's our concern. So you're looking at a senior community that is it's taxpayer subsidized, right? You now have $100,000, right? So there's rules that are going to say, wait a minute. We're not going to have people living in this housing when they already have enough money. So you need to find out if there's legal ways for you to structure this so you still qualify. Our concern is because that you now have these dollars and you go and just because you put in some financial product that may or may not work for you. Well, I've seen situations where, particularly when people are trying to go into Medicare later in life, and they... will try to artificially impoverish themselves to qualify, and it doesn't always work. So the worst thing that can happen is you put your money somewhere because some financial salesperson sells you a financial product, and then you find out 3 months after being in the housing that you don't qualify because you had $100,000.
So before you make a decision, you do not want to talk to anyone that has a California or Nevada or
whatever state
Kansas. Or New York life insurance license.
And you'll see it on their business card.
And it will be on their business card. If it has that on there, you're talking to the wrong person.
Yep.
First thing you need to do is find a counselor that cares about you and understands the rules. And if they tell you this is the type of annuity you need, then you do what they tell you. All righty?
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you for your advice.
Maria. I appreciate it, Maria.
Wish you well. Yeah. That's
thank you.
All right. Tough kind of a...
It's scary,
but, and we see we see that often in Medicare. Or we'll have clients will say, "Hey, mom's got, they just sold a house. We wanted to qualify for...
Or a federal aid or state aid or whatever aid.
To cover the housing, because she doesn't want to have all, she didn't want to see all this money go into the, pay for her nursing home.
And then they artificially impoverish, and every state has different rules regarding how that works.
Yeah, and there's oftentimes they will look back to say, all right, we may not, do you, you don't have those assets today. Did you have them in the last couple of years?
Or 5 years?
And if you, yeah, 60 months is common.
Have you given any money away?
Right, and they'll say, well, wait a minute, you gave the money away. You could have had the money to go to pay for this. And from a taxpayer standpoint, you can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
What they're trying to do is artificially impoverish so that they get some sort of government aid in order to maintain more of the inheritance for the children or grandchildren.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. From
Most
an individual
people get it from
an
individual
standpoint. From a.
But what's good for the individual is not necessarily good for the whole.
Yeah. So anyway. Interesting situation. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to join us, call us, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
One of the longest running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us on this Saturday. Hey, before we go back to the calls, we're going to go here in a moment. I was reading on Puerto Rico. They've got some bad financial problems, if you haven't followed the news at all. And their structures, in some ways, it's similar to the way Greece is part of the EU, where they can't print their own money. There's certain parameters they're supposed to follow. And Puerto Rico's the same way. For example, they have to follow our federal minimum wage rules, although their productivity is not the same. It's just a. But so I was reading this article about their municipal bonds, and there's a couple fund families here in the U.S. that own a lot of Puerto Rican bonds. But what's interesting about
because they're tax free.
So and they have.
High yields. So they boost the yield. So if you're looking for a municipal bond fund and you're looking at them and they all kind of look the same, but this one has a higher yield, you think, oh, better.
Of course, I want the one with the higher yield. That's good, right? Let's get higher yield. The challenge is some of these, it's going to be in question whether they're going to be paid back. But this article I was reading, there was an investment bank, think of a big Wall Street firm, right? These big Wall Street firms, where you might have a financial advisor who works for them, but the firms exist for multiple reasons. And one of the main sources of income that they have is that they help companies and municipalities raise capital. So if let's say that they're any municipality here in the U.S. or abroad, if they want to raise money for a water project or for highways or whatever it might be, they'll go to an investment bank and say, hey, will you help us raise money from investors? And the investment bank says, sure, we'll put some bonds together for you. You need to raise $20 million. We'll help you raise the $20 million. I'm just throwing out a number. And what the investment bank does, they say, look, we'll then go ahead and make sure that we have buyers for these. Well, in Puerto Rico, this one particular investment bank, guess who their buyer was? It was themselves, their own mutual funds.
Oh, that makes it easy.
So their own mutual funds, they have their own mutual funds. So they say, yes, we'll go ahead and take.
We're going to charge you a fee to sell these.
We'll charge you a fee to sell them. They sell them to
themselves.
The shareholders of their mutual fund. So, and then their mutual fund shares get sold because they have these financial advisors, quote unquote financial advisors, that work for them that deal with the public and says, oh, by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Client, I think that XYZ fund would be perfect for you because it's such high yield and they've got these great Puerto Rico bonds in them.
I don't think they ever mentioned the Puerto Rican bonds. They just mentioned the yield.
High yield tax rate. Anyway, so it was just reading the story is just a reminder to me of the challenge when you are working with a financial advisor who works for a large firm that has many different business interests. It was just yet one more area of conflict of interest that I saw that the financial advisor can not only be recommending an individual security that the firm is underwriting, like a company's stock or bond.
Yeah, no, most certainly.
But they could also be recommending a financial product that that financial firm has created, mutual fund or some other kind of product. But that product in and of itself can have some conflict of interest because the business has many.
And sometimes you actually don't even know it's that particular investment firm's mutual fund series because they go by different names.
Yeah. So,
you could have ABC Asset Management Company that sells XYZ mutual funds, and you may not know it's their manufactured product because it's built to actually kind of.
You can figure it out if you start drilling down.
If you drill a little bit.
Homework, but
if the advisor, 89% of the portfolio they recommend has the same fund families, there's probably a pretty good chance.
Something's going on there. Anyway, let's go take some calls. We're talking with Gary. Gary, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey. Hi, guys, Gary. Here's my situation. I'm pushing 63. The house is paid off. I've only got about $40,000 and a couple of 401ks. We have about 4 years left on a $1,100 a month tax bill to pay off.
Okay.
I have no pension. My wife is disabled due to last year she had a heart attack and stroke, and she only gets a couple hundred a month from SSI. Am I ever going to be able to retire?
So tell me about what you owe on the house.
House is paid off.
And what's
the house is paid off.
What's the value of the home?
Probably around 200.
Okay.
And how much did you say your tax bill is?
The tax we're paying $1,100 a month.
Wow.
Just under $400 or 400. Four years.
Okay. So you're paying
$1,100
bucks. So you've got $50,000 or so left on a tax, which is probably an offer and compromise, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And is your job such that you could work until age 70?
As long as the place stays in the business, yeah.
The thing you have going for you, and you might not see it right now, is that your home is paid for.
Yep.
Right.
So do you think you would live in this home the rest of your life?
We'll probably end up moving to like Oregon or somewhere cheaper. Missouri or something.
So here's what you want to do is, and what do you make approximately a year?
About 82.
Okay. So are you able to put any money into that 401k on a monthly basis?
I'm currently putting about 9%. I'm putting 5% before tax and 4% after tax, and then they're matching about 4%.
Oh, I would put it all before tax.
All before tax, and you move it to 12% of pay, and you won't notice much of that difference in the take home pay.
Okay.
So here's what you got going for you, right? So if you were my older brother, you're not old enough to be my father, but if you were my older brother, I'd say, hey, you know, listen, plan on working until you're age 70. If you move to a lower cost area in terms of housing, you would sell your home, your $200,000 home. Where do you live?
I live in Pollock Pines.
You'd sell your $200,000 home in Pollock Pines. And if you move to a lower cost area, you'd take the proceeds from that and you'd use a reverse mortgage on a new purchase buy the new house.
At 70 or beyond.
At 70 or beyond. And between that, your Social Security, and you should have at that point in time,
and you
got another
seven years to save.
You got a hundred and I don't know, there'll be 100,000 plus there, and your Social Security at 70 years at age 70 will be substantial enough. You should be able to live pretty comfortably, not high on the hog, right? But
because your Social Security will be quite substantial if you wait till age 70. One thing you'll want to think about doing, Gary, when you're age 66, you'll want to file for Social Security, but then suspend it immediately, so you never actually receive it. What it would enable your wife to do is to collect half of your Social Security, not beyond the small disability, Social Security disability she's on today.
Which means that you would expect to see her monthly income from Social Security Administration go up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what you'd want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly what you'd want to do.
When you're 66, as soon as you hit full retirement age, that you want to prepare so that you can file for Social Security, you suspend it, and immediately your spouse would start getting half of what your full benefit would be.
In fact, if you go to our website, moneymatters.com, we have a little webinar about Social Security, and we talk a little bit about file and suspend and how that works. So the answer to your question is, will you be able to ever to retire? The answer is yes. And actually, you'll be able to retire comfortably, but it won't be until you're 70.
Okay, well, and being as I have a fairly physical job, I'm a refrigeration mechanic, I hope I make it that long.
Okay, yeah, if you don't make it to 70, you'll still be able to retire. You just won't be quite so comfortable, and a large part of it will be predicated on the cost of living in the area in which you retire to.
But I got to tell you, if you can make it to 70 before you take Social Security, it's going to mean the world of difference. Because if you quit, let's say you just quit today and start Social Security, your wife would then get half of your benefit, which would be a little bit more. That is a fraction of what you would you'd both receive if you waited until age 70. I mean, because for you, Social Security is going to be really important for your income.
As a percentage of your final income, as well as these contributions to your 401k. So if your home wasn't paid for right now, we wouldn't be nearly as optimistic.
Because you got a couple hundred grand saved in your home.
You got a couple hundred grand saved in the house, and a reverse mortgage on a new purchase. Even if you stayed in the house you were in now and did a reverse mortgage, it would give you a stream of income that would help supplement your Social Security as well as the IRA. No, don't do it until you retire age 70.
And that might be an option. I mean, if you've got kids and stuff in the region and don't want to move to a different state, you got to look at those things.
All righty.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I appreciate
Gary,
the call.
Wish you well on that. And it's not always less expensive moving to other states.
No.
Yes, California has high income taxes, and we have lots of other high things, but some other states aren't necessarily that inexpensive. And when you factor in other costs, it doesn't always make sense to move out of state at retirement time just because of the tax situation. So,
I was glad that we were able to actually show him a little bit of
a little bit of light at the end
of the tunnel.
If it keeps working until 70, it would work for him. We're taking a quick break. Stick around for more of Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McClain Financial Advisor. At Hanson McClain Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McClain Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McClain today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Back to Northern California's financial experts, Hanson McClain's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Yeah, as we are in our final quarter hour of this fantastic
which
program.
Is normally the best part of the show. So if you've been disappointed up until this point in time, we would ask you please to stay on because it normally just gets really good right about now.
If you've been like ready to change the channel and this thing, what the heck is this program?
Where did these guys come from? Normally it gets better.
I was reading recently on this organization that sells real estate investment trusts. I'm not going to bother going to the name because it doesn't
REITs.
Really matter. Real non-traded real estate investment trusts. And they're sometimes referred to as uncorrelated asset or alternative investment. So this company... They figured out, basically, they said about 12%, when every dollar that was invested, about 12% went just to pay for the sales distribution of it. The broker typically would receive 7 or 8% commission. The brokerage house would receive a couple percent. Then there was a couple percent in just the cost that the company had to get this stuff out there.
Paying their salespeople.
So 12% would go to distribution costs right off the bat. Now, this company, they had many different companies underneath this one company, and so they, it turned out that there would be someone would create a real estate investment trust to go out and buy some properties, all right, and then say, oh, we get the best properties. We lease to hospitals, or we lease to financial institutions.
We lease to franchisees. We lease to large restaurant chains.
Whatever. At least in all these supposedly wonderful places. Then they set up another company that would go and help market these properties. They'd collect a fee on that. Then they set up another company to manage the properties. And there were so many different layers. And after reading this, like...
They were all... The investor was all paying for it at the end of the day.
All of it.
And so, they weren't necessarily paying the lowest price because the people managing the REIT owned the companies. So they had no economic... The people managing the REIT had no economic incentive to... Move it forward to go out for bid to someone else.
Look, if you want to invest in real estate, and there are clearly times when makes sense to invest in real estate, you can buy real estate investment trust or an index or an ETF of them if you want that publicly trades. And if someone has told you, by the way, that you don't want to do it that way because it's going to fall when the stock market falls, just because something's publicly traded does not mean that the value is going to be different than something that is not publicly traded.
Yeah, just because something doesn't price doesn't mean that the value doesn't go up and down.
Yes.
Everything you own goes up and down.
Your home. If someone sent you a value.
This pen, a calculator sitting on my desk, they all go up and down in value. I may not know what it is until I actually go to list it. Perfect example. Perfect example. With this couple number of weeks ago with the Volkswagen and the diesel engines, right? They went down in value by 20% with the whole scandal over the emissions almost overnight.
The Volkswagens did?
Yeah.
The company?
No. The Volkswagens themselves, the cars, the diesel cars.
Maybe it's a good time to buy a Volkswagen diesel.
Well, if you don't care about emissions. But the point being, you would...
Oh, no. Now they just went down a little further.
The point being is that you didn't know that until you actually went out and researched the price. So if you're driving around a Volkswagen with a diesel engine and all of a sudden you want to go to sell it, it could be worth more or less tomorrow than it is today.
Well, your home, you can go on Zillow and it'll give you some ballpark value. But I got to tell you, if everyone's expecting the Feds to raise interest rates on a Wednesday and the interest rates don't go up, it'll have some impact on the value of your home.
So
every day it's going to fluctuate, but you don't have, it's not like you're getting some value sent to you every day. Like
so non-traded REITs, they don't price for a while after you buy them. They do not price for a while. It doesn't mean they're worth more or less. You just don't know.
And you are locked up for years.
You have no idea how long you're locked up. At least with a traded REIT, if I wanted to get rid of it, I could sell it tomorrow. I could sell it now.
And it's particularly, look, the more you have in assets and the older you get, the less desirable having money in some unliquid investment would be. I mean, at this stage in your life, wouldn't you like to have some more freedom and liquidity? And if you don't like an investment, be able to get out? These real estate investment trusts are stuff. I got to tell you this story. So we have a client we've worked with for years. She's been widowed, unfortunately. They own a large tract of commercial property. It's a barren land. Good location, barren land. And she would like to have some income from that because it's just sitting there. It doesn't provide any income. It's land. So we had some, as our overall financial planning, we did some planning. So look, you know, one option is to, you can convert it to, we talked about the benefits of converting to a 1031 exchange into something else. So this woman's in her late 70s, maybe 80s, trying to remember. Right?
Okay.
So this commercial real estate broker was recommending to her that she sell this property and do a 1031 exchange into a building somewhere back east that had one tenant being a Taco Bell, and pitched her on the great return she'd get, the monthly check she would receive.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Right? So she asked her opinion on this.
And you're like, that's a scary thing.
Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking, what's the benefit here? You want to go be traveling back to Kansas City? I don't know where it was.
To look at a Taco Bell?
You want to go to Kansas City every quarter? What happens when the franchisee is not paying the rent? Or there's some problems, or there's a leaky roof, or
all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. And we start talking about, you really want an illiquid investment. Granted, it may not be as bad as owning a non-traded REIT.
But for that particular age,
oh my goodness,
why would that be any better or worse than the land she owns?
It provides some income. She's not going to spend all her income in her lifetime anyway. I said, maybe the best thing to do is sell the thing, pay the taxes, throw the money in the bank, and pull it out as you need it. Stick it in your mattress, for that matter. Not that I necessarily recommend that, but...
Or hold it till you die and get a step up in basis.
Well, we talked about that. She wanted the income from it.
Oh, she did.
That's the problem. But the thing is, it's one of those things is you got to... Is really the highest yield your most important thing? Is that really what you want? Because money, we have money stored for what? Not necessarily to accumulate more of it. It's not always the goal.
No, what it should be the goal is so that it can allow you to live the lifestyle that you want.
It's what the money can do for you, not what the money can do for itself. And I think sometimes people in life can get confused that they want what can the money do for itself, not what the money can do for you.
Yeah, and you certainly don't want it to complicate your life, especially in your 70s.
That is my whole point. And it's so often we see people pitch investments that they sound good, they get locked in, and that might have been an extreme example, but locked into some limited partnership, which is how most of these REITs are structured. It's really just some form of partnership. You're stuck in it. No liquidity. Is this really what you need? Anyway, let's take a call from John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, John.
I have a question about Social Security.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm on Social Security disability, and I started on that at the age of 59, and I'm 65 now. What would be the difference in the amount of money if I was just to have regular Social Security at the age of 65?
There will be a higher number. I don't know how much more significantly higher. You should be getting estimates from the Social Security Administration on an annual basis, are you?
No.
Well, you can go right online and pull your estimate up right online, see your exact number. Yes, Social Security, we all like to make fun of and poke our fingers at government agencies and their bureaucracies. The Social Security Administration actually has a pretty dang good website. SSA for Social Security Administration .gov, www.ssa.gov. And John, you can go on the website there, log in, you'll create a login for yourself. It'll tell you exactly what you can expect to receive when you hit your normal retirement age. And if you deferred it, what you would receive at that point. It's a really great website. And as a matter of fact, we recommend that a lot of people go and do that during their working years.
Get a good idea of what it's going to look like.
There's truly no reason to sit and guess and wait. So you're calling us to ask us to guess. There'll be a time when there's a crossover where your your normal retirement.
But he's required to go off disability at what age? At his normal retirement age.
I believe it's normal retirement age.
I can't remember if it's 65 or normal retirement age. I think it's normal retirement.
I think it's normal retirement age.
Yeah. So you may, but in most cases, I can't think of a single case where I've seen where the disability payment's been higher than the Social Security payment.
No, retirement. Like taking a hit. I haven't seen anyone taking a hit.
Correct.
Hit
but rather than us sit here and blab about it, you can actually go onto the website.
But you'll want to check these things periodically. They used to send the statements on once a year, and then they stopped, and they are going to start sending them again, is what I had heard. They're going to start mailing them out again. But you can always go online, and as you're approaching retirement, you'll want to check it out, because sometimes you'll find there's gaps. There's been some missing income, or maybe you had.
There wasn't mine.
There was?
Yeah.
When you worked at the pizza parlor?
It was a long, 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 long time ago.
Was it worth even notifying them?
No, they missed like 3 years when I was like 18 to 22 or 23.
Do you expect you're going to receive Social Security when you retire anyway?
Do I expect that I'll be getting Social Security? No, I do not expect to receive one single dime in Social Security.
13 years now, you don't expect to receive any?
No, I would not expect to receive Social Security income from the retirement side, and I hope not to get it from any other side. I hope not to get the Social Security disability. That would be a bad thing.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, because you're... And the longer you are away from there and the higher your income, particularly those two, if you're relatively young and have a pretty good income, I certainly wouldn't be betting your retirement on that.
Yes, don't worry.
Anyway,
for it.
We are running out of time. We come here every Saturday, 8 o'clock at KGO, 10 o'clock in Sacramento. You can also get a podcast of this program. If you visit our Money Matters Academy at moneymatters.com, you can get a podcast of this. We have a webinar on Social Security. You can watch that as well, and lots of other great webinars, great educational material at moneymatters.com. So if you haven't been there in a while, go check out moneymatters.com. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We will see you next week. You've been listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hanson McClain Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McClain Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McClain Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McClain Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
Hi everyone, this is John Coyne, producer of Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Thanks for being one of our loyal podcast listeners. Did you know that you can still be on the show and have your financial questions answered? Simply go to moneymatters.com, click on the big orange button that says Ask Scott and Pat a Question. I'll personally contact you and schedule a time to have you on one of our upcoming shows. We can't wait to help you.